I suggest that the strategy be meeting because we've got various other business which must attend to after this meeting. We don't have the presentation, but we want to thank the DC for organizing something for us because we couldn't receive copies. Because we are held in control by the industrial expo. In other words, this is supposed to mean then that we did not have an opportunity even to look at what we are going to be presenting. Be that as it may, the meeting is going to continue. I'll request that we observe a moment of silence and meditation from the start of the meeting. Amen. We don't have sound system. We shall have to raise our voices. Another issue is that we requested for at least beverages. It's hot in here for the meeting. I don't know if they managed to escape and come in at a later stage during the meeting, but they were prevented from entering the facility at the start of the meeting. So we've got numerous difficulties, but work must go on, not extending the difficulties. After this meeting, honorable members, it was in the notice that we're going to have the meeting of the social services to discuss the issues that relate to an urgent bill that we need to look into as social services. So I'm pleading that we maintain the quorum because we're still going to have yet another meeting. Having said this, we welcome the department of sports and recreation. I think I need to hand over to you straight away to kickstart the process of resolution. I don't know how I'm going to be arranging myself, whether it's going to be one person presenting or it's divided with us, but I'm giving you 45 minutes to an hour to do your presentation, after which we shall then engage. Over to you. Sorry, before starting, apologies. Of course, only an apology for Mr. Hutton. Yes, Honorable Hutton. Okay. It's Honorable Mamporo and Honorable Hutchins. Okay, over to them, DG.
So before you give over to the DG, we also an apology for the week of the comment, Honorable Mamporo.
We have recorded the apology. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. Good morning to the honorable members of the Select Committee. Our delegation comprises of the CFO, Ms. Valserina, and the Chief Operations Official, Ms. Maya Khan. I will do the presentation on the contents of the annual report and leave the financial statements to the CFO to speak on. I don't think Chair would need the entire 45 minutes.
Okay.
I think I'll use 15 and you can use another 15.
Okay. Proceed. For as long as you don't leave out the critical details. I did not receive any, except that I had explained to the committee earlier on that the most unfortunate committee is this one, because it sits on the cabinet bill. Be that as it may, we do need to receive a formal apology, although we know that the cabinet I had not received any formal, but it came the next day. Or at least a deputy to come. So convey that message to us, that you understand that Wednesday are happy days, but at least if there is a way, the deputy could actually come and officiate, because there are political issues that sometimes arise and they need a response of a political deputy.
Certainly, sir, we will convey the message to the minister.
Okay, thank you.
Report is for the previous financial year, 2014-2015, and it has been finalized and settled in the National Assembly already through the Portfolio Committee of Sports and Recreation. And the report covers a whole range of issues throughout the year, and from payments to both the National Federation as well as the public institutions. And the South African Institute for Cultural Sport. We have now, in terms of the exit structure, we have like six directors, including the CFO, as well as the staff in the administration. And the department still has only a single division, which is the chief operations officer. And we therefore operate largely with the chief director. The vision of our department has not changed, it remains the same as you can imagine. And this encapsulates the entire mantra of the department. Everything we do, from mass participation programs to high performance programs, are encapsulated into this pre charge by the department, which entrusts that to pursue on behalf of the South African nation. Again, the issue of the mission has remained the same as well, since 2012 after the National Sports Education in Dhabi. We are still committed to the transformation process in the delivery of sports and education, and most importantly, broadening the scope of access and to ensure equitable access to the participation of the teachers and to development of talent as well as excellence at all levels of sport and participation. During the year under review, the department had 23 targets. Of those targets, we achieved 21, and there were two that were not achieved. The first one that was not achieved was the target of completing an audit of all sorts of facilities across the entire rest of the country. During the year under review, only one province, KwaZulu-Natal, managed to complete the audit. And the Western Cape was almost on the edge of completion, but it had not completed at the end of the financial year by March 31st. The rest of the other provinces were struggling, and largely because of the expensive nature of conducting an audit of this nature. So we are soon decided that the smaller provinces that are struggling, that we will provide support to them. Most importantly, we will also do a facility discount, which is a bit of a downgrade from an intensive audit, because the audit on average costs province about 3 million rands, and many of the provinces, particularly the smaller ones, just don't have the requisite resources to fund everything from that because of the constraints of the budget. Another target we have not achieved in this regard was a target of we set ourselves a score of 4 on the MPAT ratings, and we have not managed to achieve that score. We are still committed to becoming the first department to achieve a score of 4. We are hopeful this year we will be very close to a 4. I think we will add a bit about the 5 if we have not reached the 4 percent. But we have set ourselves, we have decided that we shouldn't set ourselves and say set the target of 3, but we should set the target of the highest possible score, and we had to strive towards it. So we didn't achieve that target in the last financial year. But this year we are a bit more confident that we have streamlined most of our processes, and we will be very close to it. If we don't achieve it this year, we will be very, very close to a 4. But the rest of the other charges we have achieved them. This would be the first complement of an institutional that is that of the allocated 9 cents. So as you may see, we have an underspending of 0.3%. We always attempt to bring the expenditure as close to zero as possible. But you have to be careful not to overspend, which is reduction in terms of the PSMA, which prohibits and we totally consider the act of misconduct if a counting official overspend both of the department. So in this regard, we strive. So it's not that effect science to arrive at zero, but we try to be as close to zero as possible by the end of this financial year. And this year, you know, we were at 0.8%. The year before, we were at 0.9%. So we are always very, very close to zero in this regard. So if you look at the next section, we need the implementation of the National Sport and Recreation Plan. You should contend that this line is not fully funded. I can with the policy right now, that with the funding that we have in our conversation of the funding, I'm now on page 9 of the slide. Sorry. We don't have a... So we have to go to I'll keep the committee on track. We are on page 9, and I was indicating that the plan is not fully funded. And now with our prioritization, we have managed to implement at least 27% of all the targets. We have 262 activities in the National Sports and Recreation Plan, and of that we have implemented 27% fully. We have 33% under implementation now as we speak. We have reached the ceiling of what we can be able to do with the current budget to implement the plan. And we would not be able to do everything that the plan says we must. We have costed this. We need at least for the first 3 years, 10.4 billion, 10.9 billion, and 11.3 billion to implement the plan. And we have a budget of just below a billion. So we are nowhere near in as far as the realization of the infrastructure backlog and the other things that the country we must do. We are nowhere near to implement it in full, but we can only use the little we have now working to implement it as fast. Now, if we move to page 10, you will see that we have not finalized the consultation in respect of the finalization of our organizational structure. I think by the end of this financial year, by March next year, this new structure would have been fully approved and would have been fully aligned to the National Board of Recreation Plan. And you will see we have done away with some of the old functions that we used to and we have introduced new directories to replace the old ones. We have consulted with the unions. It has taken us much longer than anticipated to finish the negotiations with the unions on the movement of staff and the redundancy of every other. We have made a commitment to retain all staff that become redundant and cannot be retrained anymore, and to retrain them in the new areas of work and the new experience that are there. We still have severe constraints, but we believe that with the current establishment, we will be able, we are taking the establishment now from 163 to about 207, to be able to be responsive and to the new directors like recreation and so on, which we have before. So we will have to use limited resources to do much more wisely and very difficult to support, which goes to the investor. So prioritization has been the key thing. And that will account for why, for some time, our vacancy rate was quite high. But as you may see, by now we have significantly reduced it. We are now at about 11% even today, as I'm speaking, panels are substitutes and people and so on. We anticipate that by the end of the financial year, we would have eliminated the vacancy rate completely and we would have filled all funded positions with prioritized posts. in this regard, we still continue to drive mass participation as well as for development programs through the development conditional grants that we give to provinces. Of the 96 million US almost 50%, 49% of it goes to provinces for conditional grants. Further, 280 million goes to support federation grants. And we remain within the department just below 180 million to deliver three other things, the line salaries and all the other programs that we have run. So we therefore have sharpened the conditional grant framework as a key instrument of directing what provinces will be doing with them. I can give you a good example with Gauteng. We would allocate money for community sports for them and make their budget for community sport in that year would be like 12.3 million. And they would then, on one weekend, something called the Gauteng Cup. And they would get Mamelodi Sundowns and Super Sport, and they would get Chiefs and Pirates. And then Super Sport and Chiefs play the first game in the morning and one wins, and in the afternoon, Sundays plays against Pirates and one of them win, and the final is Chiefs and Pirates. And then by the evening, they hand over a trophy. But their expense of the 13.3 million, they spent 11.2. And that's community sports. And the budget that is intended to support clubs and every other thing and coming is now gone. One tournament. So we are to sharpen our tools to say this can be done. And we have to determine the percentages of how much they will spend at least on clubs and how much they must spend on community-based tournaments and how much they must spend. And we sharpened our definitions and every other thing of what we mean by that. Obviously, many provinces didn't like the new framework because it was very restrictive and it was forcing them on how to utilize the money. But we have begun to see the benefits of what we have done by sharpening this key instrument, because the bulk of our annual budget goes to provinces, and if we don't ensure that the provinces deliver better with that money, then we will not be getting the salary for money. And so the terms of the grants have been integrated, and now the provinces, 2 years later of implementation of the new system, we are already comfortable with them, and everyone has gotten into the idea of having to go that way. Most importantly, Chair, I'm now on page 12, on the issue of legislation. We have also realized that legislation is a bit of a challenge to support the new sports plan and to the things that are required to do. We had asked the lead of government business who were requested to submit the list of laws we want to have amended or introduce new ones. And we gave, I think, with regulations and everything, we had 13 pieces of laws and regulations that we had to put into Springman. And as usual, government believes that sport is a Cinderella department, is not the most important thing. And we were told about other important laws that must be driven. And on our list, we were told that we must prioritize in order of coverage, which we did. And they then said they will only take in this session, they will take only the National Sports and Recreation Amendment. So that's what we have again now. Intergovernmental consultations on en route to cabinet, and once it is approved by cabinet, it will be tabled in parliament for it to be processed. But of now, that's what we are looking at. We have a series of laws, the combat sports being to regulate all combat sports like karate, boxing, every other one, and even the ones that now are unregulated, like the traditional fist fighting in Venda. And the cage fighting that people have in illegal investments and all sorts of things. So that's what we seek to regulate that law. There's the fitness industry regulation that must regulate the fitness industry as a whole. Many of them are relevant to themselves. They don't even observe certain things. We don't even know whether they are doing more harm than good. And there's so many personal trainers, we don't even know what qualifications they have and what they are making people do, and whether the reasons that they take students through are correct for their lifestyles or not. So all of those laws have to be restrained, but it appears we were more quick and faster eager because all these laws and regulations, we have drafted them and they are raised. So, but the government process is slower for us to process them and to bring them into being. Looking to the program performance, sir, I'm on page 15 now. We have covered a training for 120 employees, both in-house training as well as accredited external training. We also conducted a reflection survey to look at the staff satisfaction level and to look at the reasons why there is high attrition rate in our department. We're a department largely of young people. Many of our staff, about 83%, are below the age of 85. So you can see we have a very youthful department there. But it goes well with the mandate of who we are and what we ought to do. And these staff are always on the lookout for better opportunities, and they are always out there. So we're in a perpetual cycle of improvement. And in this regard, we had wanted to see through this perception survey what measures can we put in place to make sure that we improve on staff retention. We got positive feedback from it. We are now implementing things like a staff canteen. We are about to open the staff gym and all of this to make the environment much more happier for staff and much more better. Mm-hmm. And we are also trying to improve on family days and all those type of events that the department must run as well. Of importance remains our flagship program, the school sports championship. As you may see, last year we went ahead and in December 2015 we had the third national school sports championship. We had a total of 8,307 learners, and we also had the second Nelson Mandela Sport and Culture Day. We know, Chair, I think this is what is very sad, because we had a service provider that was supposed to do registration of people. We know that many of those who saw it on TV saw that there were more than 30,000 participants. Mm-hmm. But the service provider lost their forms, registration details. And on that basis, the Auditor General said, even if they see that video and they can see there are many people, they will not agree with us with more than 20,000 participants. So the only forms service provider I had on hand were 2,681 verifiable. And so in the report, the AG said we can only write 2,681 and not 23,000, because we know that was the number of participants. So we are there to swallow it with a pinch of salt, but for that, we have hired the service provider. So we will look for a new one to provide the administration. So we also provided a number of schools with equipment and apparel, and we had plans for to deliver 106, but we ended up delivering to 226, largely because of the number of many other requests that we got. It should be remembered that primarily this is the money we really spent with programs. So if you take the numbers even with other provinces cumulatively, last year alone we have delivered to more than 4,000 schools from all of the provinces. But from us directly, as Sarah said, we are dealing with 426 schools. We also held the Ngumlangeni Green Jacket Awards, and we honored women and men who were champions in yesterday, and because of our public, they were never given the true colors decided to choose their country through the Ngumlangeni Green Jacket. And we had the Golf Development Day with the Ngumlangeni Golf Development Chapter. This chapter now has 67 aspiring young golfers who have been trained and charged to attend to become professional golfers. In fact, two of them are already professional, which shows the effectiveness of the program. We have continued with the mass participation campaigns and various programs, and to this regard, we had 11,118 people, more than what we had planned, and through events such as the Big Walk, where we were able to attract the number of participants across a variety of different programs. If you look with me on page 20, we held a successful South African Sports and Recreation Conference, which were held in partnership with the University of Northwest and at the Potsdam campus. And during this conference, we were able to look at the research done through the PDP or the Programming Development Program. We also had a thing for journal that we produced in 2015, and it had various issues, including the franchise system, development system. We supported anti-doping through SAFE and our membership of WADA, and we still support the countries in the African continent on the World Anti-Doping Agency. We have now ended our membership of the WADA, the International Anti-Doping Agency. This was the forerunner to WADA and was left as a loose alliance of governments to caucus and to respond to issues of anti-doping. But the WADA code just adopted in Johannesburg after we hosted the conference has now also the responsibilities that WADA is to undertake. We still participate in the central drug authority of our country and implementing on issues of drug abuse and using what is a catalyst to research. And we are supporting the regional anti-doping organization in Botswana during this period. Chair, we have increased by 18 to the new number 54 of the learners who are supporting on the ministerial sponsors, that is the tune of 100,000 per learner per year. And it's a 5-year commitment to the learners because we keep them when they go to the stage and we support them and we place them in short focus schools which have better coaches and help them to nurture and develop their talent. And we also test them scientifically at the National Premiership and go to the team. And of the 54 learners, I think the first batch of 10, they are now in grade 10 this year. And soon in 2 years' time, we'll be having the first graduates of this program. And I think that test will be when they are in 10, 21, they are ready for national selection. And we can see whether the, how effective this program is and how well it's done. But this far, we are increasing on this. On page 22, in the Winning Nation, we hosted the Ikaya Hospital to Center in Glasgow to support in South Africa. It was quite successful, and we had various functions to honor the medalists and everybody there. We also had recognition events, the SA Sport Awards to place, the Mulangeni Green Jackets to place, and we also had celebrated the Winning Recognition event where we honored athletes that have gone through the various international competitions. In terms of the financial and non-financial support, we have provided federations, almost all of them. Last year, we had, well, the first year we had all federations except two, qualifying for all their available resources. Unfortunately, this year, under review, the year we had to drop money from FAFA for non-compliance with the transformation barometer and with their obligations to the department in terms of reporting. So we still have a problem with SAP and we are trying to help them to turn their situation around. We started with them in 2013. They have moved from being 72 million in the red. They are now at 18 million in the red, but we are pursuing with the influx of the new sponsors and the support we are giving them in this regard. In a year or 2 years' time, they will be on the positive in terms of their families. So our focus has been to address them as a going concern, but importantly to also get the junior teams to start playing. Because at the time in 2013 we took over, but looking at the under 23 team had not played a single match in 4 years. And it was a problem. Vashimanyana had not competed in the Danone World Cup for a space of 6 years. So we have been looking at that. Even Bafana had not been assembled. There was no team at all. So we had assisted them over there, and now you can see almost all the teams are playing, and even our under-17, Amajid has qualified for the World Cup. They won, they didn't win, but at least they went to the semis, and Panyana have now again qualified for the Olympics, and Matutnik as well, they are not really qualified for the Olympics. So our work with SAFA has improved, and with the rest of the other federations. And the most important thing is the one-on-one meetings we have begun with the federations to agree with them on what they need to do. And as you may know, even today, after this, we are meeting with the South Africa. the first black exercise, they've got a program of 50 exercises now. Some of them will graduate early January. We will have a nice concert measurement this year to celebrate the first graduates of the program. After 13 has not had black exercise for 20 years, you know, so now we are making some progress with regard to transformation with the smaller groups. And even with the Mountain Club, we are planning, I can announce now that because we have given them the money and we are friends with them, we are planning to do an expedition to Everest next year. And the plan is to place the first black African woman, South African woman, on Mount Everest to raise our flag. So there is a lot of work we are doing individually with the support we are providing to the individual federation. For international relations, we have signed with and we have continued with our work of student studies and education in that country. This is the last batch, though, and we will not be sending any new batches. What we are doing is that we have agreed to give us the flavors with the coach development program. We are looking for volleyball coaches, boxing coaches, as well as softball and baseball coaches from Cuba. And those will come and will be part of our operation with the program with the Army. And we have already intent those who are in Army base, the rest 10 bosses who are training inside the Army base. They are training, first year they are training as soldiers, and once they qualify, then they focus on sports. And they are paid as soldiers, and but their responsibility is to develop their talents to become the boxers. So the Cubans will assist us with that. We have just finalized a new agreement with Jamaica now, and our exchange with Jamaica, they need rugby coaches, and they also need coaches in rugby, you know? I'm sorry, I can't remember. But from them, I know what we need. We need athletics coaches, particularly for sprints, and we also need netball coaches. So they have agreed to support us in that regard. So the key issue for us has remained South Africa's membership in many international fora. Even now, we are continuing to, as we speak, our Deputy Minister is not here, he's in Paris. We are the chair of the UNESCO, and we have just been elected chair of UNESCO Sport for Peace and Development Working Group. We are also chair of the UNESCO Conference of Parties on Sport and Recreation. We chair the their names, I go on the list of endless about the rule and influence in international sport forum in this regard and what we do at that level. In the Yanda review, we ourselves have sport and recreation, we rolled out the UNICAS sport and recreation facilities using the Sport for Change program as well as supporting the utilization of the MIG. And we are also directly funding a pilot around community gyms. We have taken a decision that because all the facilities were done prior with a contract, most of them being vandalized. Now we have taken a decision that we are no longer helping the facilities. And we are taking these gyms to very detached areas and drug ravaged areas and so on. And we have put one here in Michelle's Plain, still spending. We took one to Magoban in the heartland of Nyauga. We were told that they were going to be sold off and sold for scrap and everything, but they are all still standing. I think the only gym that was tampered with was as well. But it was smaller things when we repaired. They had a meeting with the community again, and now, after that meeting, 2 months later, the gym looks okay and people are just using it. And so we're also using it to claim communities where gangs are firm and strong. In El Dorado Park, we have rolled out 2 now, and it's working quite well, and children play now really at the parks and so on. So we have taken a decision, we are no longer renting the facilities. So all the facilities we do, we leave them and we put them on open public parks and that people can walk to that, do what they need to do with them and so on. When it comes to the issue of governance, I would not waste time with this. This is largely for audit, and I'm sure the OSA general can brief you well. We believe we are run with well-run departments. We have received our clean audit, second clean audit in a row. And we are concerned and we are on track even this year to achieve another cleaner this year at the end of the current financial. We are very committed to this and all of these issues we take quite seriously, including we are the health department. Now as ruling party and government is exploring the idea of getting all critical stuff in supply chain and all, we've been doing that for the past 2 years. And we are getting all our staff who are having an influence one way or the other on tendering or on procurement processes, all of them in such a sense. We've entered the voluntary scheme, so our internal departmental policy was much more advanced compared to the rest of government, and what government is attempting to do right now. We have been doing it. Let me move to human resources and just touch on it briefly, sir. As you may have seen, we still have we had a vacancy rate at the end of the session of 72 posts. Like I said, we have narrowed this significantly. I think at the last count, we were having 13 outstanding posts, and we are confident that we will fill all of them by February next year. And now, the important thing for us is that after we do the rationalization, we also see that the posts that used to be additional to the establishment, many of them were created them additional because of anticipation. We took a position with the union that in order to save time, posts that we agree about already disappear on the new organogram and appear also on the existing one, and we still this. But importantly, also posts that we agree that we have to create them that will appear in the future organogram, those things are expected. And the only way we got to fill them was to create them additional to the existing establishment. And now, after consultations with the unions, we are making that and we are rationalizing them. So we already have like 17 posts outside the establishment which are now being incorporated into the existing establishment. In that regard, we have a highly skilled workforce chair, I must indicate to you. Right now, even most of our employees, we unlike other departments, we don't have level 2, 3, and 4. Those posts we don't have on our organogram. Our entry level is level 5. So all staff members working there, even drivers, secretaries, they are all on level 5, and almost all of them have degrees. So we have a highly skilled workforce. And we don't compromise on the high people in the house. That commitment is shown by the quite of output in terms of our recommended information practice. There's still people on senior management. We have a total establishment of stage one with those on salary level 13 at 22, and salary level 14 chief directors being 7, and level 15 being only one. DVD and with salary level 61 in the DVD. So about it, you therefore see from there that we aren't top heavy as compared to many other partners. We have the workforce that are at a lower level where we need it the most. If I move to page 40, I would ask that the CFO take over and report on our finances.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. President. On page 40, we deal with the issue around revenue. We are saying here that we are non-revenue generating department, meaning that all the money that we receive is from the National Treasury. All services that we offer are not paid for. Like I said, it's the money that we receive from the annual appropriation. From the National Revenue Fund. In the previous financial year, we appropriated 970 million, which is a decrease of 9.6%. In that financial year, we appropriated about a billion, but there was an amount of 120 million, which was allocated for the CHAN tournament. So meaning that money never came back. It was retained by the National Treasury. There was an additional money that was received, about 27 million from Germany. That's from German NGO that we partnered with in order for them to assist us with the multiple centers. We received about 27 million from them. We've also generated a legal 107,000 from the recovery of telephone expenses, interest on the bank accounts, and didn't sell any motor vehicle. Yeah, I think it's a mistake. So we were only able to recover 107,000 from when people called the department, and they spend more, so we recover the money from them. When we move to expenditure, like I said, we appropriated 920 million, but we didn't spend the whole amount. We underspent with about 3.5 million, which represents about 99.6% of total budget of the government, meaning that we only spent 966 million of the allocated amount of 920 million. The underspend was mainly in compensation of employees with an amount of 1.8 million and in goods and services with an amount of 1.7 million. In the annual report, chapter 43, there's a detailed breakdown of expenditure in the appropriation statement and in the notes of the annual financial statement. When we move to the expenditure for 2014-15 per economic classification, compensation, the department spent 82.3 million out of a total appropriation of 84.2 million. We had an underspend of 1.8 million, which is about 98% of the total budget. In terms of goods and services, the department has appropriated 185 million. The actual expenditure was 883 million. There was an underspend of 2.2 million, which is about 99% of the total budget. In terms of transfers, Chairperson, the total amount of 525 million was transferred to me. To provinces. This is the conditional grant money that we transfer to provinces. Departmental agencies and accounts, we allocated, yes, we overspent about 29,000 rand, which was not significant, yes. In terms of non-profit institutions, this is where we transfer money to federations, all federations that we support. We transferred about 186 million, the total amount. In terms of payments for capital assets, we allocated 2.1 million. We spent 97% of the budget, and we underspent about 58,000. The explanation in terms of why we underspend or overspend on slide number 45. But we're saying we spent 97.8% of compensation of employees. We're also able to buy some money from compensation of employees, about 4 million to goods and services. This was to enable us to defray some overspending for the entire project, for the Glasgow 2014 Commonwealth Games, meaning that we overspent when we went to Glasgow. And payments were computer software, level 3, and it was not significant. It was only about 4 million which went into these two items. In terms of goods and services, we spent 8.8%. We realized some savings because we did not move to the new building. So there was some savings which were realized, which was supposed to utilize for the rental towards the new building. I think we'll move it in the foreseeable future. In terms of transfers, we transferred the whole amount to Boxing SA, state, NGIs, provinces. In terms of capital assets, we spent 7.3%, which is a budget of 2.17, we spent 0.109. In terms of comparison between the financial year surplus, you will see that we've been hovering around 99%. In 2012-18 financial year, the department spent 99.2% of its budget. 2013-14, 99.9%. In the previous financial year, we spent 99.6%. So we're hovering around 99%. We will not go any lower or up. In terms of programs, program one, administration, the program spent 99% of its budget. There was an underspend of 1.3 million. Active Nation spent 100% of its budget, Uni Nation 98%. It was appropriated 84.4 million. Then actual expenditure 83.1 million. Sport support 100% of its budget. Infrastructure support 86% of its budget. In terms of transfers, we were able to transfer all the money, like I said, the breakdown of where the money went. Mm. In terms of provinces, we've also been able to transfer to all provinces, meaning that we spent 100% of the money. In terms of challenges, there was an issue around the post of the director in finance. It has been filled now, so there are no issues. There are still some small gaps in the departmental internal control system. even though a lot of improvements have been experienced. In terms of achievement, like the DG said, we've been able to maintain the team over the second year running. Our intention is to continue to maintain the team. We've been able to receive the PFKNG, the AG finding. There's been an issue around payment of suppliers, but they're exceptional cases. Actually, the AG in their report, they say we take 3.7 days to pay. They supply, even though in our view there still is an issue that we have, because we should be able to pay our suppliers to complete all of it. Achievement, we spoke about the issue around the unqualified audit document with no matters of emphasis, which is again audit code. That's where we ask for our ongoing AG report.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for the presentation. Welcome to the presentation. Let me then give an opportunity to all other members to comment or to ask questions. Honorable Sir, Honorable Kao, Honorable Samka, Honorable Dami.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Take this opportunity to welcome the presentation, the comprehensive presentation that is present. I don't have much questions, Chairperson. I'm just going to make a few comments. Perhaps let me start by making those comments. I think we need to welcome the initiative from the department to achieve clean audit. Also, having achieved 20 out of 23 targets that they set for themselves. Managed to achieve 21 out of those targets. So it's a good story to tell. And we need to, I know Honorable Kawa would normally say that we are blowing our own horn. I mean, the French speaks themselves, but yes, not to say that we are blowing our own horn.
Yeah.
We are listening attentively to the presentation, so it is indeed a good story to tell. Now, my second part is just one question. I've noted in the presentation there's an outstanding issue on the challenges which has been coming. Even yes, I mean, last year we also had the issue around the agreement that was signed between sports and education and Department of Basic Education. I mean, in our constituencies, we still find there are schools that are built without educational facilities. That's number one. And secondly, the issue of sports and education is not included in the curriculum. So it looks like a serious bottleneck around it. Perhaps one is maybe just request the department maybe just give us an insight of what are the bottlenecks, because this issue has been coming for quite some time now. And then we meet on the other hand for the Department of Education, who will also emphasize on the agreement without giving any positive input. So that's my contribution for Chairperson.
What
about
you?
When the DG was here to make the presentation on the annual performance there, I think it was all by himself. And the members were complaining that maybe the members were trying to do the agenda. And I was saying, sir, I remember what I said. I said, see, it's a good thing that the DG, who is able to do everything with me. Because it shows the right person in the job, because he can be able to carry everything on his own. Which is what I think other departments can learn from this department. When you're a DG, you have somebody who can be able to take you through a presentation to the department, because he knows what is happening. Rather than getting a DG to do the interview with him and then pull there and say, take over, do a presentation. It says to you, while he is out there, but he knows what is happening. He can go to that department and tell you what is happening. Go to that one and tell you what is happening. That was my first one. The second one is that, I don't know, in the first of the school sports this year and then the department, I think we are regressing. I think the problem is that maybe, I don't know what's happening in the other provinces, but especially in some of the provinces, I think really, for that one for me, is a condemned and from when you left, they remember you were registering the school, the school year. They are not taken off with that. If anything happening with the family. So, can you please pay attention to this? Because you know, school sport is your development program for the sports car that you have in the family. The sport in the country is also going to be rich. That your production is changing for the future. I'm glad you have done something on the exchange program with America. I remember when we were still in the program. Our portfolio committee went to Germany. One of the recommendations when I came back here was the program. I'm glad it's happening at national level, but I'm very sure that you have a problem with my camera today. I think it was their brainchild. They've got excellent coaching staff, excellent program. They've got a coaching pool. And their program is not very far away from what we used to do in the country because it's largely based in schools. But they are carried over to the tertiary institution. So I'm glad that it's happening because it's going to take us home. I remember this one. I've complained about the school sports, mass participation program, another complaint. Also, the fund not as big as it used to be. I don't know, maybe you have reduced funding for that. Last year, understanding, I'm sure I can help you. We can still spend that from your teacher. I'll talk to you about it. We are not at the end of the financial year. So, the 2 million you can still spend it. So, we get to zero. We talk about it. Thank you, sir.
an infusion.
So salary.
The salary. I think it's a project that's going to end in 2015.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Let me also welcome the presentation from the department and congratulate you again, once again, on the people. It makes us proud and accommodate as well. Because we are working with you. When it comes to how departments are managed, it also has impact on us. So the committee will really appreciate us. We acknowledge that it's very difficult to maintain working and it's even better to obtain it than maintaining it. But we are hoping that you're not going to let it down. You will keep it being audit as one of the exemplary departments. Chair, I want to start with let me also appreciate the performance of the department based on the way they had planned for the last financial year that they would have performed given the budget that was allocated to them. So I want to start with the money owed to municipality. Do you owe money to municipality? If yes, how much? And if yes, why is it not paid? That asking the municipalities are complaining about departments won't pay them. Do you owe money to any municipality? If yes, why? The second matter is on the TG, now I'm putting it officially, the multi-purpose center. As a province in Mpumalanga, we don't have much. And there's a high demand that we have that. I think that is one thing that you must look at. But I'm linking it with your infrastructure budget. But if you put 10 million for infrastructure development, that money, if you are serious, you can't even build one. It's as good as if you could build it. Maybe you can use it for maintenance, but also maintenance is very expensive. You know, that's also facilities up. You may have to, because if you don't have these facilities, it means the communities around these areas are not able to perform sports. Why are we not prioritizing it? I am aware that the budget that is allocated to was also one surprise that you have a budget that is below a billion. Being a national department, I don't know how they're funding. Because the project has got with the budget. My problem is that you have more, in your allocation of budget, you have more money for operations, less money for facilities, which might mean that you are widening the gap. You are having more projects or programs to those who already have other facilities. It should be the other way around for me. You put more money on facilities so that you bring in those that are not yet covered by now. The 15% grant that is supposed to be paid by municipalities, I was happy when you were advocating that money be given to the department. It's something that we might, I don't know how we can do it. It's not even a question that can ask why the parties are not selling that money for sports, because really, if you're honest, you can't compare water and sports. I know the experience of that. You can't.
You are trying to pretend it's me.
Yeah, I'm talking about that. You are putting your municipalities under serious pressure or constraints. Because I from my previous life, I used the 1.6 for sports activities. It was a big up time. Yeah, this boat hasn't fallen over water. We don't have water yet. So don't think that it's going to happen. If we have a way of pushing that man goes to apartment, let it be so. I feel get it from the authority. Maybe this big, I don't like to use that big, this well of municipalities. Again, it can happen. But these other municipalities that could still have challenges of water, it will not work. It's not a workable solution. Even if you ring fence it, when people throw it on, burning tires, people don't go to work. You open that fence. You put it on the road. So I'm just saying that in your budget, try to prioritize those facilities. It will assist. Maybe as a politician, I don't agree with you, DG, and the team that you want skilled, only skilled personnel, even for work that can be done by other people. We have a number of people. From driver to the degree.
No.
Let's know if you want them to get job opportunities. If you could really relax, you will be appointing more people. Because still it widens the gap. Those who are educated, meaning that they never get job opportunities, even if they have interest. If you could relax that without compromising the standard of department, but just to contribute to the crisis of the country of unemployment rate, especially for those people who are unskilled. I'm just suggesting that we do that. The criteria of the name of teams. We have Banyana Banyana. We have Basakani. We have Basakani. It's all my language. You can name us. But I'm just saying, if we are to use, it's good to use our language sometimes, but it might later create some problems. The problem that I'm raising now. Why don't you name them in Kuzat? Banyana Banyana, Bashimanyani, Afrikaan is all one language. I don't know whether it's sort of one, but it's speaking those two.
Respect the church. Bashimanyana should be Afrikaan.
But it's one group.
Yes.
It's one group, yes. It meaning that in Mbuni we have one. If I use...
All the netball teams are named in
Mbuni. In Mbuni.
Yes, all of them.
So I'm just raising it as an issue that if you decide to use crawler and phone, like your Springboks, or whatever, let's try to maintain that. Otherwise, it's fine now, people have not yet raised it. But in the future, people may raise it because they will ask what criteria do you use. But if you use something that we can all identify ourselves, it might assist. I do appreciate and agree with my colleagues about each matter. If you could not only concentrate on the coaches, also who athletics are very good, combined with Kenya and Malawi. These people, know that they are good, they are trained from young age. Kenya and Malawi is also doing that from young age. So, you know, we only see them as field team, but those people are trained. If we can spend in there and see how best we can assist our own young people. The minister's salary. I'm just interested on the course, what costs are there, but I also feel that it's not enough. It's absolutely nothing. Unless if the department, other than the minister's salary, has got other salaries besides this one, then I would agree. I'm not quite compatible with the manner in which e-sports development is happening, using the housing example. Because if you go to take this big team, this money is like lost for me. This money is supposed to be used on sports development, using the small teams, those Yeah, small, starting from under, is under 12 or under 11, these young groups. Starting from there. Because if you take the Ikeda Chiefs, the Mamelodi Sundowns, and this, what are you doing? You just give them that, them that money to play. Mm-hmm. And that money is supposed to be used for sport development. Chairperson, the second last one is the 163 staff establishment, you want to have 207. My question is that you're just complaining about the budget that is not even implementing all your plans. So now, if you add these people, are they based on the part of the plan that you're implementing, or they are looking at your total plan? Because I see your staff establishment full expansion. Which one are you using? Are you using the one that you have budget for, or you are using your total plan? Thank you very much.
Thank you. Honorable Pambus, who wanted to call her again. Okay. Let's go that way and then we'll come to the question.
Thank you. Quite good that you have reduced to 11% on debt. That's a compliment, but if you can just finish the one I just aspired for. The last time I had been here, I had edged on the update of Romania and not in Detroit, whom you stole from the Western Cape Province. And I had a plan of teaching her in my own class from 30 to 12. I would like to know. I know you are still in Kaohsiung and doing so much of work, but are you rotating her? I'm quite sure it's for the Kaohsiung province to get her skills in terms of swimming, synchronizing, and all of these people. But are you rotating her skills? Because I know she's predominantly based in Kaohsiung, but she gets into Hazel and to Limpopo to spread her talent.
I happen to stay not far from New Zealand, and I took off Sunday afternoon and I went to witness the server that I've been, but I'm concerned about the gender. There's more boys than girls there, and it doesn't mean there's no talent. This is the woman, and the woman here will aspire to a best class other than shirt and clothes are women. Are women, I'm talking about gender. I'm going to see more of the upliftment of gender in terms of those steppers. And I must say, I'm quite grateful that this talent and this 14 of steppers, we get more attention with and it's only your department, honorable. So we will compliment where we need to compliment. Previously, it has been a predominantly white sporting or talent that we focus. But the more we see the best people coming in, it excites me. When I take a walk from you, but okay, on Saturday afternoon, I do see this happening and it excites me. Because there is definitely a chance that it has been so much sheltered. And it was a real statement of Dada Mandela who said there is so much talent, but the teacher has to find it and nourish and nurture it. But it's the best talent we need. And it's so good that in the afternoon Sunday, it dominated the next step as to me. Beautiful, beautiful setting on the side. And after you turned to the mayor, which I know you had spent so much money trying to bring in the structure there in terms of getting in there, but I would like to know what's happening because he started telling us lost and not given to our young children who can play a very big role in trying to lessen the time children in South Africa if they can be redirected into the right direction in terms of sport and education.
And then I think that's all the guys so we can form the family of products. We have something you might have to speak about. So all the activities is an item. And
No, thanks, Honorable Chief. Just a quick one. I think the South African sport was the health of Sunday in Mufundi. So there was a program that was in the news. The minister was actually saying that, you know, they actually taking an approach of what is it, rotating them to different provinces. So I just wanted to know what is the next province that is going to be. So that we can prepare ourselves already in advance. So if it's not in case, I overhear somebody was saying it's not. So I just wanted that fact to say what is the next stop and what is going to be. Thank you very much.
I thank you, honored members. I've been largely covered by the honored members. My very first question was with regards to the issue of transformation of sports as to what extent its department involves in ensuring that it has already been asked by Kapisa. And then my next question is, given the fact that the department is always underfunded, because it's not perceived to be one of the delivery departments that are, I mean, are crucial. At some stage, there was a suggestion that maybe lots of the approach to see if there were arrangements to be entered into in terms of diverting some of their proceeds to for sports infrastructure in the rural areas. When you made your presentation, DJ, I was happy
when you said that you've actually strengthened the depletion of grants that you said to publishers. Because we are worried about the fact that it would appear that the focus is in the urban or semi-urban area. In the rural outskirts, really, even if you were to try with the tournament to ask for apparel, you are not going to get it from provincial departments. So I just want to know what is actually happening in terms of reaching out to the areas where this is most needed, as compared to focusing on the cities where people can more or less afford. And then the employment, I saw that have actually reduced the rate of unemployment in the department to 11, but to me 11 is still high. It embarrasses us when there is made that the departments are not employing, yet there is such a high rate of unemployment. I know that we're not going to take anybody in this state. We are not going to just fill up the post because we have to fill them. But there is that concern that the departments are moving quite slowly in filling up the vacancies. Yet there are many, many graduates that are sitting at home unemployed. And I've got a different view. One of the members said, why do you employ drivers with degrees? And I said to myself, we've got so many children sitting at home with degrees and not employed. So which way do we go? Do we consider those that are not qualified and leave out those that have stayed in school, have spent time and money to get a qualification? Don't we have to give them such preference at least for them to do something? Another side issue that was raised by Uka besides the issue of the coaching school. Do we have any in the province? Or do we have intention of developing any school to actually train the people that are going to coach the various schools? And then finally, the issue of this meat grant that Honorable Zamin alluded to earlier, or that we had suggested that maybe if it is lumped with meat, it's not going to serve the purpose, because she's writing that no mayor will actually take money and develop a sports field or a swimming pool or whatever, or a rugby field when people do not have water, when there are no roads, when there is no electricity. But it should be segregated at the level of national treasury. It should go there for sports development, not to be lumped with me. I don't know if this message has been conveyed to treasury to separate it and challenge it for that particular purpose, not to lump it with other funding that are associated for it. Lastly, the NARP, did you say that it's not fully funded? I don't know if it's funded at all, but you said it's not fully funded and you are going to struggle. It's going to take about 50 years. I mean, when I calculated the amount of money that we need annually to fund this plan, it means you're going to take about 50 years to repay one commission. So there has to be other mechanisms of trying to get funding in order to push the agenda of this program. Are there any other avenues that you can tap into, even if we source funding from other countries? Thank you. Those would be my few questions to you. Then you can respond to DG. You may not respond on all the questions. I give you that prerogative. Some of the questions may have to respond to in writing, particularly in view of the fact that we have yet another meeting after this one. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Honorable Speaker, our relationship with the Department of Education and the MOU is really contagious. It brings us as best as it can. And I think we are at one in as far as coordination of the higher tiers. In truth, short right through the world is driven by teachers, school sports. South Africa can be any different and try to have people outside school implementing school sports. Teachers have got to take that responsibility, and you see it's operating really well with the private schools and some of the schools. But in truth, this is what psychologists say to say. But in truth, in the schools where predominantly Shatu is powerful and is in charge, the teachers refuse to do this because one of the biggest mistakes we made in 1994 was to, and later when we passed the schools act in 96, we made sport optional. It's no longer compulsory. So sport is an extramural activity. So with it, the teachers say it is not core and part of their responsibility. If they do it, they must be paid overtime. Whereas that was not the case during the apartheid times, teachers did this thing, and in fact, our COO used to be a physical education teacher, and she knows she used to address it and take children into the netball field and football and do every other coaching that she could do and do with children. And the other bigger challenge is that basic education insists on saying that there is nothing wrong with the curriculum and that the curriculum is correct the way it is. And they argue that because federal ministers who came since 1994 have tampered with the curriculum, there is now curriculum tampering facilities. And they don't want to tamper with the curriculum anymore. They must just stick by what they have and make the best out of it. With that approach, physical education is not a standalone subject. It's part of a bigger subject called life orientation. And they say that they have agreed with SASU that a dedicated period of 4 hours a week of life orientation must be geared towards physical education. They say that that understanding exists, but in practice, that's not the case. If I'm a teacher and life orientation has everything in it, it's a
repository
of things. It has art and culture in it, it has environmental education, it has personal hygiene, there's music. There is sex education, there's everything in all of that. Sports is there. Or physical education is in there. Now, if I'm a teacher, and it's called, there's a dusty soccer teacher, I'm not going to go there with my shoes or anything. I'm going to say to the children, hey, come here, see. And that's why people ask, why is it that Adam culture, and not just all Adam culture, you don't see the schools. Classic schools making children do the things we used to do called handwork. Don't do that. Or painting, or talented children are made to do fine art. They don't do that. The art and culture driven schools today is the National Choir itself. And the choirs happen. And you see, I arrived on the way from my house to the airport. I see a big billboard of the Ministry of Basic Education announcing the coming of the choir. We have done with them school sports championship for 3 years. They have never done a single billboard announcing the coming of the school sports championship. But with the choir, they do it because of that good modification. Because it's cheap, it's easy. You don't need instruments, you don't need to buy anything, you don't need to have fields or anything. In a classroom, children are just clustered there, the front, the chalkboard is behind them, and they say, come. Easy. All of us have voices. So it's easier for them to do that. And it's easier for the teachers to do that compared to doing sport. And with the current arrangement of where a teacher has a choice what to do, they will not choose sport. They will choose choir. And it is easier for them. And unless we tamper, one, with the law, and we make school sport compulsory again, and we amend the South African school act. Two, we challenge that physical education remain a standalone subject once again like it used to be and has dedicated teachers to it. Then we can say all we like every day in, out. We will never arrive at where sport is played in all schools. I think that is our realization, and that's what we have put on the table of basic education. And we would insist, Chair, that you have a joint meeting where you don't call us alone. You call us with basic education. Let us come in the same meeting so we can raise our issues, they can raise theirs. Because we learned from, and that's why we insisted in the portfolio committee that we are part of. And that we had the portfolio committee of basic education and the portfolio committee of sport having a joint meeting where both art and basic education were summoned. Because what they say to the portfolio committee and what we say to our portfolio committee is not the same thing.
And they want to paint the picture of a rosy scenario. Mm. When we know that that is case at the ground, particularly in rural schools and so on, sport it has not played. And when we ask them to give us pictures of their local competitions, those pictures don't come out. Because in terms of our agreement with them, we are responsible. We only start taking over when they are district competitions. That's when sport and recreation are takes over. So our question has always been that the second competitions and the local competitions, where are the fixtures? When do they get to play? And the only year we got Mpumalanga and Limpopo to play this was last year, when we Sport and Recreation paid for it to ensure that no, let's have the second competition. And then they took place. And we were sure that they did take place because we paid for them. But basic education has a responsibility. If I can tell you how much they have budgeted for sport and recreation, for the delivery of sport and recreation, sure, you will be shocked. They have budgeted 546,000 funds. How are they going to do? How many seconds do they have to deliver that? Well, we can understand that, yes, the responsibility question is with the parents to pay for the children to each school in the same township. One school in zone 1 and the other in zone 2 in section A or section B to play against each other. The children can actually walk. We used to walk and we used to do that. And they go play and they eliminate each other. But then the middle schools in the area must go play on the second competition. But at a second competition, section needs distances matter. So you need buses, you need that. That's where the second office of the Department of Basic Education has got to pay for the bus. That will collect the school teams and that will provide for the playing on that specific day. That doesn't happen, sir. And I think we have to be honest with each other and accept that we have fundamental problems in the implementation of the MOU. And I would request that the time permission, the committee calls us with basic education, saying that the advantage with this committee is that it is 2-in-1. And we can deal with both issues on the same day. So that would be our request, that the committee support us in that regard, so we can unlock the blockages that are still there, that we still see. And which answers the question of Honorable Kabula, honestly, that yes, we agree with you, but there are challenges, and we know what the challenges are, and unfortunately, it isn't in our power. And even if we wanted to, when I asked, I found that there was a check that was in our Department of Education, and I thought to myself, no, they are right. We can never, for the recreation, hope that we will grant school sport at that local level. School sport all over the world is driven by teachers, and that they must leave basic education to do the lower tiers of them. If you have the national championship, we agree. We must pay for it and do all of that. On the issue of the Nfin Stadium, we have been to that statement. But we've been asked that the matter be reported to the police. Clearly there, money has been embezzled and misused. And we have requested the municipality. I think we are struggling with Buffalo City. We have money. We have spent money for 3 financial years now to build a boxing gymnasium. And all they needed to do was for the council to resolve it. 3 years later, it's not yet resolved. The fees are getting. And we have been rolling over the money every year for 3 years now. And last we sent senior managers to go tell the municipal manager that if you don't get the rezone by December, we are calling off the project. And even with this stadium, we had requested that if push comes to shove, Treasury must refund money so we can finish the stadium. Having an unfinished stadium doesn't mean anything. And us crying over state mills that the money was embezzled is not going to help unless we take action against those who have embezzled the money. And so that's why we insisted that the criminal cases be open. And secondly, that we're asking the Treasury to say, even if the criminal cases are open, the money should recover all the rest. But this is not the stadium still must be finished. So let's refund money, give it to us, let's finish up the stadium. We won't give it to the same municipality, but the Treasury is having difficulties with doing that because they say the current grant framework for MIG doesn't allow for them to take the money intended for that municipality and give it to us. So they say they have no legal framework to be able to move that arrangement. So in the meanwhile, the stadium has like fallow since 2010 and it is like that. The same with Paris. Advantage with the Paris one was that the municipality then approached our provincial department to say, please help us. And then
the freedom that was supposed to take 2 years to build, having taken about 4 years, we were able to complete it in 7 months. So it's done now. But equally, we don't agree with what we see in Paris. We cannot build a stadium that is supposed to seat 35,000 people in a community of 12,000 people. There's something horribly wrong with an arrangement of that nature. And you can understand why we're insisting on the national norms and standards. Honorable Dam, we own all municipalities and money. We are okay, we are
family.
You're
on the same side of
it. Honestly, we don't owe anybody anything. And we note what you say, but remember the sport is a concurrent function constitutionally. Mm-hmm. In terms of the constitution, the facilities must be delivered by provinces and municipalities.
Mm-hmm.
Treasury refuses us to have more money there.
Mm-hmm.
It says that the only money we can have there, money for facilities is for oversight.
Mm-hmm.
For us to do the things we are doing, visiting the, checking whether the norms and standards are being complied with or not. And secondly, it says that we can do pilots for demonstration models. So we use the money to do our jobs now as a new thing, so to try and prove. And also we use the lacuna in the law to also deliver multi-purpose sport courts, because we argue that there are new technologies and we are trying to see whether after we have rolled out how they work and so on. But we've been driving it at the back door that way, because we're not allowed to deliver the facilities ourselves. They say the money is with the MIG, must be delivered by municipalities. And the provincial prisons like the one you are proposing be done must be done by provinces. That's what Treasury say, and therefore that's why our budget remains 10 million and so meager in that regard. The issue of civil personnel, I think the chair has addressed it. The issue is that that's why I took time to explain that we started level 5, because our drivers are not just normal drivers. When they drive, they get, but they must also do the communication. They must also take photographs. They must also do this and that. So they aren't your typical driver. Because a guy who just drives and then gets the delivery letter and then he's all over. He can't read, he can't write, he can't do anything. And sometimes he must stay in. So they must be gainfully employed. So we make them, in our department, everybody gets staff in HR. Staff who do recruitment. When we are not recruiting, they do programs. They will have no idle staff or idle time. So we insist that they must be multi-skilled and do also. So that's why we insist on the degree. And I think there is a contrast to the issue of the criteria for naming this honorable German institution is not as we name the teams, it's federation.
Okay.
The federations themselves name their teams, and we don't adopt the names as federations have adopted them. The Ministry of Sports Bursary, yes, it is not enough, but it is all we have. We are carrying now 54, which is about 540,000 rand. A year, which is half a million now. We, at this championship, we are intending to select 16 more. And remember, we carry them over a longer period, 5 years, all of them, and see them through. So we don't have all the money, but with the money that we have, we are better. Are there girls in this team? Yes. There are girls. In fact, our criterion is not based on whether you are white or you are a girl or what. If you are talented, irrespective of who you are, you will be the brothers. That's for sure. Trust me.
Mm-hmm.
And there were, yes, we had budgeted for 10. And the talent house said, no, but we can't leave this with young stuff. They are very talented.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to the CFO, find the money. Find the money. And let's not lose talented young stuff. So if you are talented, the trust us, we will do everything. We push mountains to make sure you get that brother. So I think that is our preoccupation about it. Do we have other bursaries? Yes, we offer with the cut fit at the PDP or the postgraduate development program, by which we offer 20 master students and 10 PhD students a year, bursaries to do research in sports science and to do outcomes and so on. And internally, we ourselves give our staff, I think this year we are funding 36 staff members to study further, and we give them degrees. So we have this inward, also outward focus thing, and we have this for the bursary specific. That's growing with that. I can assure you that at our last national championship, girls constituted 53% of all participants in there. And we believe in mainstreaming.
I don't agree. That is why I said to netball must stop their tournament in Maggie's called All Girls and whatever. Mm. They must put this into the mainstream tournament. And our job is to make sure that in there, and of course 22% of all participants were children with disabilities. So we don't have a separate tournament for them somewhere in the corner. And we make sure that we mainstream into. In a previous life, I was chief director responsible for special programs. And so the issues of women, children, disabled, I'm very passionate about them. And the issues of mainstreaming, that's why I insist that they must be mainstreamed and must not have small tournaments by the sidelines for girls and others. We must make sure that in the same tournament, our planning and everything accommodates girls and disabled youngsters to play in the main. They must eat the same food, get the same support, same treatment, same everything that all the other learners are getting. So we are committed to that. And even with Sheffield, you may have seen that in Jeffers Bay now. We see our new program Sheffield in the new recruits of 30, 20 adults. So it's unlike the Mirrenberg. The Mirrenberg, when it started, we took youth at risk and it was our direction program. So these are children largely who could have either committed this or were using drugs or they were supposed to be sentenced and they were diverted onto the program. So that's the 50 you see there, and you can see the results of such a nice program. But in Jeffers Bay now, we have made sure that as we recruit, they must get girls as well, and the girls are in the majority. There are 20 or 30 recruits. So in all other aspects, that's what we pursue. What happens are we going to take arrive at 240 staff members 3 years beginning April next year? And 240, Honorable Gamin, represents what we now can afford to implement the plan. If we were to, the new organogram includes is about 719 employees, if we were to do the whole source plan. Mm-hmm. But we are taking it in stages according to what we can afford at the time. And this is what we agreed with DTS and Treasury, that this is what we can prioritize and afford. But it will take us 3 years to reach 2 foot on an incremental basis. Update on Castasimena? Castasimena is back. Remember, there's no better way of saying this. She fell in love and she wanted to be married and loved, and she lost interest for some time in sports, and so she wasn't training. She didn't qualify for major tournaments that were necessary for her to come. The minister was concerned. We had a meeting with her and the coach. Wanted to find out what was happening. Sasco, because of a non-qualification and a ranking, took her out of the OPEX program. And as a result, her getting back into OPEX was now a problem. Because she needs the money to trade, she needs the money to access the gyms and to be the coach. So it was a big problem. So we decided, we placed her on our internal program, we paid for her for that. Then she went around, she went to compete, and after the Diamond League, she qualified. And then which brought her back into OPEX, and we handed her back to Sakok. Now we have seen she won the IAAF championships. She became second after the Russian, but importantly, she's now back in the group. We are looking forward to, she has been looking good times. Our scientific about the trading has, she has been looking good times. We are confident she will get a medal, at least in the 800. We are sure that she will have the medal at in Rio next year. So, with Natalie Dua, Natalie is on retirement. We have agreed with her that she would run a coaching clinic with through SASCOP. She has been doing that. She said that she prefers to write something. She doesn't want to be all over the show. So, we have respected her wishes, and she's working from Kampeng. And we are providing support for her as and when we can. And we are reaching not just with her, it's on the program with Anna Meyer, many other farmers. That was on the National Volunteer Corps, yeah. On the issue of transformation, this is a sensitive matter, Honorable Kaula, but importantly is that we government can't make noise, but everybody else is making about this issue. More so that we have squandered a lot of good wishes since 1994 to 2030. But we are there to accept that the quota system is a single dimension or single measure to measure whether we are transforming or not by simply counting how many black faces are on the field. Was very counterproductive. And the quota system was decided in 1992 in the forums on the unity talks that ended Knox and created Trascock. You would also remember that we had agreed on a 50-50 quota, that 50% of the teams must be black and the other 50 must be white. We didn't hardly represent the demographics of a country, but we are trying to good start. But as me and you know, none of the teams have ever reached 50%. First set of 50% target that was reached in 16 was only 2013 and last year. And we saw it in the junior teams in cricket and also in the junior teams in rugby. We started seeing blacks beginning to emerge. Cricket junior team, you always had one black person.
Mm-hmm.
Or African, let me qualify properly. One African person. If you like Makantino, it's not him, it's Mudazondeki, it's not him, one of us also, but it's always one. So there is an artificial glass ceiling, because if you look at the cricket, KFC mini cricket league, you have all these youngsters who continue to play and assume upwards. Where do they end? And that's what we need to find out. So we introduced this new scorecard and a transformation charter with all federations adopted. Now we did a baseline study with five of the big five federations, rugby, cricket, netball, athletics and football. And we established a baseline, where are they? What is their footprint in schools? Which province are they dominant? How many registered players do they have? What teams are they playing? We did that intensive study, we issued that barometer as a highlight, but we established it as a baseline. We then used it to sign agreements with the five big federations to say, here's your target. So the Springboks or the rugby serve on all their national teams. They have an obligation of reaching a target of 50% by 2019, which is measured on an annual basis. We have signed it, it's a voluntary agreement. All of us have signed, the five federations, they have each have committed themselves. We have sent out the questionnaires, we have received them, we are doing that analysis. By February, we are issuing the report. The report is going to say to us whether the first year target of the 5 years they have reached or not. And if they have not, they are consequences. And they know the consequences. They are already there in the law. So we can't like anybody, because there is a World Cup. We deviate from the plan that we have agreed and we have signed on all, and we may start making noise that no, but this thing is not good. We aren't expecting it now in the first year to reach 50%. We are not. By 2019, we must judge that Springbok team, whether it has 50% backs in it, and are they regular players, and are they? And that's where the taste of the pudding is going to come. Right? So we can't be emotional about this matter. Because Robert Mauer speaks about it every day with his room dividers and say all sorts of things, or because Peter de Villiers, who when he was coach, he himself didn't feel 50% like people. But nevertheless, they are now biggest critics of saying we aren't doing anything about transportation. In fact, unlike what has been done in the last 22 years, what we have done in 2 years, since we introduced the transformation data, has gone a long way. I mean, I can show it to you, even in many smaller codes, and not just right. And the problem with South African discussion about transformation chair is that it's very polarizing and very racist. It suggests that the only problem is right. It's not true. We've got to look at all federations, and we've got to say, to what extent are we moving hockey as an example? And nobody pays attention to this. But we have singled out Springboks, perhaps as a symbol that the apartheid government had put forward this thing. Perhaps it may be proper that politically that's pursued. But I think we administratively, and as part of our campaigning that is intended to use what for nation building purposes, you can't be as excited like everybody and start shouting down on national teams and every other thing. We must stick to the agreement, and we must be judged when Saudi doesn't meet this target. We must be judged by whether we punish them or not. And I think that is the fair thing to do. And what corrective measures and support we are providing them to actually meet the target. You know, and we are encouraged by what we see. At junior level, we are meeting the targets. I think even in cricket, the junior cricket team, that only 23 team, 60% blacks. So we are encouraged by what we are seeing. And sport must be, transformation will come only organic.
Yes.
You can't impose, because we aren't going to say to everybody and say, hey, come play, because you are black. It can't work like that. So, and I think unless we start acknowledging that, and we acknowledge
the work that's been done and on the transformation chart and the scorecard we use to measure everybody. We don't just count whether how many black people are on the field. Now we look at whether in your vote room, how representative are you?
Mm.
And governance, are you well run? Can you account for money? Do you manage your finances and assets well? Are you taking care of the athletes? Are you doing well?
Mm.
And performance, are you winning?
Mm.
What is your well ranking of the national teams? And last seven matches, international matches, who did you play and how did you fare? What are your technical reports telling you? Where are the growth points? Are you in schools, access?
Mm.
Do you have clubs in rural areas? All of that gives you the weighting, and you see that access, because we believe it must be organic, access carries alone.
Mm.
That's one of the seven dimensions. Access alone carries 40% weighting. So, which shows you the premium we put on encouraging federations to reach out to all communities, including rural areas.
Mm.
So if you don't work in rural areas, your score is going to be very, very small. And I think that is the whole point. We can talk the whole day about transformation, but I must leave it there. We will invite the country to our next issues, and no, it will not be the Northern Cape that was the next quarter. We look at infrastructure and whether it can contain what we are doing. And so we will have to see, but yes, we are committed to the principle of rotation.
Yes.
So we are looking at new revenue streams. We aren't just putting our eggs here. We are now forcing the Treasury, fighting very hard with them to agree with us to introduce a kitchen levy. Many of you, when you fly, you are already paying a tourism levy indirectly.
Mm-hmm.
When you fly, when you buy your flight ticket, there is a 2.5% which goes to the tourism development levy. And when you stay in a hotel, you book a room, you pay the 2.5% of the rent of the room to whatnot. But why do people who love sports don't pay for sports development?
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to watch a match, we want 5% of the ticket. If the match of Kaizer Chiefs and Pirates is 100 rand a ticket, we won the 5 rand out of it to the sports development fund. And, and we are insisting on the imposition of the 5% levy. We have said we will not penalize smaller federations who really need the income of. We will do, we'll publish a calendar annually of designated tournaments that will identify. The Springboks across New Zealand, we know the stadium is going to be full and the ticket is for 500 rand. We want 5% of it. So I think that is our plan about that one revenue stream. The other is the imposition on the sin taxes. We were deliberately duped when tobacco was banned in this country. We were promised that the money will come to us. We lost. We had like the Renson and Hedges Cup in cricket, we had the Rothman Cup in football, where I can go on and Peter Ferguson in sailing and so on. When they all withdrew, the tax was increased on tobacco products, but it never came to us. It went somewhere. Now everybody, because there was no written agreement, the Treasury behavior doesn't know that there was a hint in government that that's what this was to pay for. With alcohol, now they want to ban alcohol advertising. We have been fighting health and social development very hard to say continue with the ban, but this time we want it in the law that the money is going to come to us. And so they are having a problem with it, so we're insisting on an imposition of a 2% levy on alcoholic products, and that 2% will make about 4 billion a year. It will help us deliver without having to cry for sponsors to give us the money. It will help us deliver sponsors and support the hosts that have been supported traditionally. So we're looking at new revenue streams. We're trying to be creative. We're still fighting for the MIG thing, that it must come to us. If it does, it will give us about 2 billion a year, and that too will go a long way in making sure that we first track the implementation of this. I've got good news for you, Chair, and the committee. Rural sports has been quite weak in our country, and we have acknowledged this. We have reprioritized our resources little as they are. On the 8th of December in Mthatha, we are launching the Rural Sport Improvement Program. It will be a look of all rural lands. It's a good birthday. So we're working with the AMACOSI, coordinated by the provincial as well as the National House of Traditional Leaders, and with Culture and Rural Development. We have decided we should not make excuses. There will be 8 provincial leagues except Gauteng, and of the 8 provincial leagues, there will be the finals next year in December in Mthatha. So we start there and we end there. So
this we are launching. We have already begun our procurement process. We are giving the alcohol to the kids and every other thing. They will establish the teams that will represent their localities and small councils, and they will then compete. And the alcohol will be responsible for running the tournament. So we are very committed to it, and we are taking a conscious decision to do this work.
No, Amakos. Traditional
My last question would be on the sport focuses and the coaching school you ask. We don't have a coaching school yet. But we have this year, after we have struggled a long time, after Peter De Villiers was fired, the Springbok coach, when we didn't agree with Sir that they must fire him, they fired him, but we decided we were going to take Peter De Villiers as a good coach to write modules on rugby development and rugby coach development. He wrote two chapters, and then he found a job at WC. He said, I don't want to do this again. Same piece of money took, was fired, and we got people to do. Peter at least had gone that they already returned five modules on the framework, but couldn't finish it. He got a job at Sandoz, he abandoned the process. So over the years, we have been struggling to get modules accredited with the CASFIFA so that the coaches could be trained properly and accredited. And our attempts with the universities like Nelson Mandela, who have sports science and everybody, to do a customized training program for coaches has not yielded the fruits, because what they are demanding and what the CASFIFA can afford to pay Kalena is well apart. And so we have finally managed to engage SCORE money. SCORE is an NGO we have been giving money for the last 22 years. It's sport coaches of this program. It's now working right through Southern Africa. It's a South African NGO, but it trains coaches. But it uses the FIFA licenses to do the training. So, but it didn't have the South African accreditation. So we have worked with them over the last 2 years. They have finally, about 3 months ago, called and said thank you very much. Now, today we received our accreditation certificates with CASFIFA. So as a result of that, we have more than, we have given them an 800% increase on their budget to start training coaches. Next year, they'll start training coaches in football and netball, as well as 5,000 teachers as coaches at the schools. So that is our first heart. It's a little step, but we have to go there. The challenge in South Africa is that the best countries with good coach participant ratio are your United States, New Zealand, Canada, Australia, the UK, with Australia the best ratio. Australians have for every coach, they've got 43 participants, and the British have for every coach, they've got 47 participants, and the US is about 63, and goes on with Canada and Germany and others. But our situation is for every accredited and licensed coach now in our country, 800 million participants. So at the current investment levels, we need to train at least 17,000 coaches a year for 5 years to just reach stabilization. So now we have money only to train 5,000 a year. That's all we can afford. So we have now sent our COO. She sits in the CASFIFA, and we are insisting that she must write that all the money the CASFIFA has in the Sport and Recreation Chamber, 80% of which must not go this cycling stuff that they are paying for. The CASFIFA primarily is about training, and they must focus the 80% on training coaches and paying for coach training. So that's where we are, to try and mitigate the high disparity of ratio of coaches, because simply we don't have them. It gets worse when you look at rural areas. But what we have done so long, in between the time we can bridge that gap and now, was to declare the sport focus schools and to say that the schools that have a rich tradition of playing sport and have teachers who are paid by the SGBs and who are not on the payroll of basic education, and they are additional teachers that are their teaching load is lesser and they focus more on the children on the sporting field. But those schools, we declare them. We have this far 54 of these schools across the country. And of the 54, that's where we are sending the talented children we have with the ministerial lottery, because typically a child coming from
Umduzuma or whatever will not be able to access his college, you know, it will be very expensive for them. So that's why we come in. If they are talented, we then take them. There are still challenges. One of the researches that we are doing with the PDP students, one of them doing a master's, is researching the impact of uprooting children from their communities and placing them in this specialized schools. And she's taking 10 of them, and she wants to see and tell us whether this policy, how mentally and otherwise it affects the athletes and their progress. So we will only know the results of the thing when she graduates and when she's done. But for now, that's the system we're applying to bridge the gap in the data. Thanks. Oh, 16 is, I think, let us see or who's working with the Department of Women on this program. Last year we have with them, this year she can give you a few details.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, we work closely with the Department of Women in this project, and there are various areas that we are assisting them with in this project. First is using our celebrity sports people, our athletes, our ambassadors, to get out the message of the 16 days of activism. Last year we had Kotso Mokwena, and one of mainly males. So with Kotso Mokwena, it was Sibuye Mshabala, we had Bridget Hartley, we had Akona Ndungane. So all of our athletes have been ambassadors of the program. So they attend events, they actually get out the messaging, count me in messaging that 16 days of activism. For this direct, Madam Chair, we also asked all of our federations in their events that they have, the captains of teams, the PSL teams when they're playing matches, the cricket teams, all the Ram Slam, the one days, they actually, before the match starts, they read out the message, the messaging on their billboards, etc. So that message is awesome. But I think the biggest thing that has been a difference is the infrastructure. The DG has spoken about the outdoor gyms, the community outdoor gyms, and the play parks. Now, the women of, Department of Women have they identify a site each year that they go, they look at the site, they do their research to see where there's a great number of households where there's women abuse against children, there's violence. So they identify that and they provide services, a basket of services in terms of community gardens, programs. So sport has come on board. Last year we went to Welcome, to Virginia, and we built, we put a community outdoor gym. We put in a children's play park. And Madam Chair, I must say that the results were phenomenal. If you look at the facility, it's overutilized to the extent that we would need, they were actually asking us to put another facility there. So it has made quite, we haven't measured the impact, but by the report that has come from the Department of Women, it has made a considerable impact on that community as well. This year, I think as we speak, the president is in an area called Norport in the Northwest, where he's launching now the 16 days of activism project program. Today is the first day of the program. And we have also worked with the municipality in Mahikeng to look at where we can now build facilities there as well. But most of the area is tribal land, but we got confirmation yesterday that they are willing to provide some public space where we can now put in the community outdoor gym and the children's play park in that area as well. We've used various platforms the minister has been teaching on. Last year at the sports awards, we used that opportunity to give out, you know, pins for the minister's speech to include our support of the program. And I think generally a lot of our programs where we have women involved, you know, we normally put this messaging of no violence against women and children. And Gigi, I think we need to also indicate that in terms of programs for women, this year Sport and Recreation partners with a program called G-Force for Women, where we acknowledge women in sport in various sectors, women in the media, our administrators, our coaches, and our participants in sports, the volunteers, at an event during August. And our biggest program for women is our Network Premier League, where we have each province coming with a team and participating in a Premier League, in a fourth Premier League that takes place over 2 months. And I think we're already seeing the results, Madam Chair, of that program, because this year in KwaZulu-Natal, the fourth woman of the year was Bongiwe Mthomi, and she's our a South African netball player, and she played for the Kingdom Stars. And Kingdom Stars, which is a Premier League team from KwaZulu-Natal, was the team of the year at the KwaZulu-Natal Sports Awards. So I think, as Gigi said, we don't look at maybe isolating women's programs or women's teams, but as it may, we are also working and defining a policy for women in sports as well.
Thank you very much. We needed that enforced. Thank you. Gigi, I think we've come to the end of our meeting with your department, led by yourself. Want to reiterate the comments of the members about a clean audit, 2 years in succession, and we hope that even next year we are going to maintain the same. We shall continue to support you in all your attempts to try to get a discovery, because we really feel that the mandate that you're hearing is very important. Nation building is very important. Social cohesion is very important. But the budget that is allocated is very, very low. So we hope that cabinet is going to pass the proposals that are coming up with in terms of the levies that you propose so as to increase the budget. I didn't hear you respond to the lotto issue.
Yes, we are working with the lotto chair, and we don't always agree on the priorities. But at least right now, even today, there is an endeavor of the lotto, the national endeavor, and we have sent one of our chief directors to go present on our priorities in that. They support our school sport program, they support the sport awards, and they support partially the Nelson Mandela Sport and Culture Day. But we also support the provision of sport equipment as well as sport facilities to schools. And last year, they supported 600 schools. We are trying to stretch them this year to support 1,000 schools. So we have some working relationship with them. It's not as perfect as it should be or what we would like it to be, but at least we have started somewhere. And we found like in the past where Sumaya used to struggle with us even to get the meeting from. But now at least it's much better. We have established working relations.
Yeah. No, thank you very much. You lead by example. You are on top of issues. You know your department very well. We met a similar department yesterday, and we also met another similar department where you could actually see it and see that the DG is on top of issues. So you give us confidence that even when people say nothing about our departments and fail to deliver, but we've got some that are there to implement the policies and the full understanding of the policies that are supposed to be implemented. So we agree with you when you say that maybe there will be a need for us to have a meeting between yourselves as sports and education as well as basic education. But I think what other departments that maybe we may have to invite to that meeting is agriculture, because also there are programs that should be running in schools that are supported by the Department of Agriculture. And I think then if we can have such a meeting, we are going to have a fruitful engagement. With those few words, I want to say thank you very much. Your work is highly appreciated by the Select Committee. Keep it up. And the handling of the funds, CFO, we really do appreciate 0.3% under incentives is really nothing to talk about that much. And the internal mechanisms that we put in place to ensure that you deal with corruption and you vet staff that are handling money is highly appreciated. I wish all the other government departments would actually copy that. Although it is something that is supposed to be done as you speak, but I doubt if people have gotten into the groove in doing that. You have led by example. Thank you.